It is a joy to be with you again this evening. One of the young little ladies in the back thanked me for preaching, and I told her, I said, I love to preach. It's my favorite thing, to tell the story of Jesus and his love. That's why we're here, because if it wasn't for the love of God for us, we would be lost and without hope. This morning, I taught a lesson that I was hoping that would motivate us. And tonight, I want to teach a lesson of assurance. And this is such an important lesson. And I hope that as we go through the lesson this evening, that it will be something that will challenge you, and something that will benefit you. I mentioned it this morning. All through my years of listening to gospel preachers, listening to elders and Bible teachers, I never heard this lesson. And I was reading in 1 John, and all of a sudden it went, bam, and the light came on. And then I started studying this subject, and I said, wow, I never listened to the words of Jesus as he spoke on this subject. So this evening, I want to talk with you about the assurance of the believers. And if you have ever studied the epistle of 1 John, one of the things that you will understand is that the Christians that are being addressed in this epistle are being bombarded with what we today call Gnostic teaching. Now, what does Gnostic teaching, what did it teach? It taught, number one, Jesus did not come in the flesh. That as they were crucifying him, that he was on the cross laughing because he was only like a spirit or a mirage. And so if you read 1 John, you hear him say over and over, someone who denies Jesus coming in the flesh, they're the Antichrist. And so that's one thing that Gnosticism taught. The second thing was that there is a distinction between the flesh and the spirit, and that the flesh is innately sinful, but since there's this separation of flesh and spirit, it really didn't matter whether you sinned in the flesh because you could still be justified in the spirit. And so basically, just go live however you want to because you can still live that way and be saved. Well, unfortunately, I think a form of that we find very prevalent in the religious world today, and so we have to guard against that teaching ourselves. But the third thing that John was addressing was this teaching of Gnosticism said that there was some body of mysterious knowledge out there that you would have to access in order to be saved. And so that was really rocking some of the Christians. It was creating doubt in their mind. Am I saved? Now, I don't know about you, but I've talked to several religious groups who teach, well, the Bible's not enough. You need something else. Well, if we read the Bible tells us that we have everything that pertains to life and godliness, and that the scriptures are designed to thoroughly equip us to every good work that we need in order to be saved. And so when someone tries to tell you you need something else, you just turn them over to what Peter said. Peter said, we have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. But John was trying to help these people to understand that they didn't need something else, some other body of information, some mysterious teaching that was somewhere out there. He said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, "Now by this we know that we know him." How do you know if you know him? If you keep his commandments. And he goes on and he says, "He who says that I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Do you know God? Can you know if you know God? The Bible tells us right here. The Holy Spirit tells us through inspiration that you and I can know that we know him. And the way that we can know that we know him is by keeping his commandments. And that if we are not keeping his commandments, as the old saying goes, words are cheap. And the proof is in the pudding. And so I can claim all day long I love God. I can claim all day long I'm a Christian. But if I'm not walking in those commandments, the Holy Spirit says I'm a liar. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." He said, "If you do the things that I tell you, the things that I command you, you are my friend." And I use those two verses so frequently because there are so many people that I teach that do not want to obey the commandments of God and still say, "I love Jesus." And that's the litmus test for our love for Jesus. Do I keep his commandments? These people needed reassuring that they could know that their relationship with God was solid, and the way to know that was not by just some feeling, no tingling going down your spine, but by the fact that they were keeping his commandments. John goes on in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21, and he says, "I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." So he's saying to them, you don't need something else. You don't need any other information. You can know that you know God because you've been given this truth. And now he says, you need to live in it. And that's what he says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. He says, "Let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father." Listen to that. If you let that abide in you, which you have heard, that's the gospel. That's the truth of God's word. He said, if you let that abide in you, he said, you abide in the Son and in the Father. But then he went on. And by inspiration, John pins these words of reassurance to these Christians. And his words are that they possessed eternal life that was provided through Jesus Christ. And this is where I got into this study and I started seeing things that I had not seen before. I want you to look at our proof text tonight, and I want you to think with me about what God says on this subject. What the Holy Spirit says on this subject, and we're going to begin tonight in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, and John wrote, he said, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life, he says, is in his Son. He who has life, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things, he said, I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, listen, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now I'm going to go and I'm going to highlight some things, and I want you to think about this. As we consider this, what God has said through His Spirit, I want you to go back and I want you to look at the verb tenses and see what God says about this. God has given us eternal life. He didn't say God will give you eternal life. God has given us eternal life. And where is that life found? That life is found in His Son. Now listen to what He says. He says, he who has the Son has life. What kind of life is He talking about? He just said it. It's eternal life. He said, if you have the Son, you have eternal life. He didn't say, you will have eternal life. In the way out yonder, that's what we teach. That's what we sing. We're going to have eternal life. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you have the Son, you have, present tense, you have life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, again, that you may know that you have eternal life. He didn't say that you will have, that you'll be given it. He said, if you have the Son, if you believe in the Son, you can know that you have, present tense, eternal life, and that you can may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And so, according to God and His Word, He said, I have given eternal life. And if you are in the Son, you have eternal life. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Are you in the Son? What did the Holy Spirit say? The Holy Spirit said that those who are in His Son, those who have His Son, have this eternal life. And they have it now. I want to talk about three questions that that raises. The first one is, what are the conditions for obtaining this life that God is talking about here? Secondly, how is it possible to possess this life now? And thirdly, what are the implications for us today? So let's begin with the first question. How does one obtain this life? Well, it says this life, 1 John chapter 11, chapter 5, verse 11, this life is in His Son. And so if you want this life, you have to be in His Son. So that poses and brings up another question. How do I get into His Son? Well, the Bible teaches about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That doesn't tell me how to get in there, but it says something. It says that old things are passed away and everything becomes new. I am a new creation spiritually. Unfortunately, it didn't change my looks. Still as ugly. Didn't take the gray hairs away. But spiritually, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation, the Bible tells us. But again, we haven't answered the question, how do I get into Jesus Christ? Well, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. A lot of people want to stop there. And they ignore this next verse, for, which connects it to the previous verse, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, I mentioned this morning I grew up in Tampa, Florida. So I got to hear the great old speakers and preachers of my early childhood. One of them was James P. Miller. Maybe some of you heard him. He was just one of these down-to-earth, brass-tack preacher guys. And he said, regarding this verse, he said, you know, he said, in the morning time, I get out of my bed and I put on my pants. And he said, when I put on my pants, I'm in my pants. That's pretty sensible, right? Now look at the application here. When we are baptized into Christ, we put Christ on. That means we are in Christ when we're baptized into his death, Romans chapter 6. And so Paul talked about that. And he said, do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We are baptized into the death of Jesus. We are raised in new life. That's that new creation. And we are baptized into the God Son. And we are then in him. And John said, by inspiration, if you are in the Son, if you have the Son, you have life. But that's not the end of it. And when I start preaching this lesson, I see people getting to the front of their seat because they're thinking, this guy's going to teach once saved, always saved. No, I'm not. But what I am teaching is what the Bible teaches on this subject, and that is we do have to get into Christ, but that's not the end of it. We have to continue maintaining our relationship with him. And we do that by continuing to keep his word. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And so baptism is just the beginning. Peter talks about it and describes us as newborn babies. Jesus talked about it in John 3:16 with Nicodemus, and he said you have to be born again. So when we are baptized, we are born spiritually into God's family, but we must continue to maintain that relationship with God to hold on to the eternal life that is given us when we are in his Son. Again, John said, if what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. And going back again to the original text, the last statement, John says, I'm writing these things so that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And so it's compared in the book of Hebrews to a race. I used to be a runner. I wasn't a sprinter. I was a long-distance runner. I ran a marathon in Okinawa, 26 miles and 300 and something yards up this last three miles was up a mountain, and I thought I'd die. But if you don't run and cross the finish line, no prize. And so God is giving us this eternal life, but if we want to hold on to it and have it on and on, we have to continue running the race, and we have to cross the finish line. But you know, that boggled my mind when I read that verse in 1 John chapter 5. I'm going, what? That's not what I've heard all my life. That's not what I've been taught all of my life. And so how in the world can that be? And then I go back and I start looking and listening to what Jesus said on the subject. And I'm going, okay, Fred, how many times can you read a verse and it goes right over your head? How many times had I read the Gospel of John and just let the words of Jesus go in one ear and out the other? Look at John chapter 5 and verse 24. Listen to Jesus. This isn't Fred talking. This is Jesus talking. And he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, notice, has everlasting life. He didn't say you will have everlasting life. He says, this person who believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And notice what he continues saying. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Notice that's a past tense. He has passed out of death, and he is presently in life. What kind of life? Jesus said, if you believe in him who sent me, you have everlasting life. Present tense. Chapter 6, verse 47. It just blew me away. I'm reading these verses, and I'm going, why did I never, ever see this? Look at chapter 6, verse 47. Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. He didn't say you will have it. He said you have it. Notice chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 51. Most assuredly, again, Jesus is the speaker, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, okay, there we go with the necessity of abiding in the truth, walking in his commandments. But he says, the one who keeps my words shall never see death. What kind of death is he talking about? Any of us who have studied the scriptures and understand anything about what the Bible teaches, we understand that Jesus isn't saying that if you'll keep my words, that you'll never die physically. We all know that's not happening. The only people that are not going to die physically are those who come or are alive when Jesus returns, and they're going to be changed when he returns. But Jesus says here, if anyone keeps my words, he shall not see death. What kind of death is he talking about? Spiritual death. So what would we term that you never see death? What's another term for that? That's called eternal life, right? How do you have it? Well, you have it by being in the Son, and you maintain it by keeping His word. Chapter 11. Jesus is talking here. Lazarus has died. And Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you, verse 23 or 22. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And she said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, what kind of death is he talking about? Physical death. Though he may die, he will live. And now notice what he continues saying, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked Martha a question. Do you believe this? And I'm asking you that question. Do you believe what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you live and believe in him, you shall never die. That's eternal life. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you walking in his commandments? Then Jesus said, you shall never die. What does that mean? It means you have eternal life. If you are in His Son, God has given us that eternal life because it is in His Son. And you can know, He said, that you have that eternal life. Mark chapter 12. But concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses in the burning bush passage how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Who was he talking about? He's talking about Abraham. Abraham died a long, long time ago. But Abraham was still living. He's talking about Isaac. Isaac died, but he's still living. He's talking about Jacob, but Jacob is still living. And if you and I die, and we are in his Son, and if we've walked in his commandments, we shall never die. That's what Jesus said. Now, I don't have time to go through these other passages. If you want to see them, you can look at them. But I want you to look at my chart here. And this will make sense. In 1958, I was born. And I was alive physically, and I was alive spiritually. But at some point in my life, when I understood what was right and wrong and I had the ability to discern that, I sinned. And as we talked about in Bible class this morning, sin separates us from God. And so I was separated from God. You know what the word death means? It means separation. Separation of body and spirit. And so I died to God because I was separated to God or from God by my sin. But then I was sitting in the bathtub. I was in the Air Force. I was home on leave, and I was sitting in the bathtub contemplating my soul. And I realized I was lost. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I literally began to shake. And if you're not in Christ, you really should be shaking, because your soul is in jeopardy of eternal condemnation, of eternal separation from God. And I called a friend of mine, happened to be my wife's uncle, because I was worshiping in Drew Park, at Drew Park with them at the time. And I told him, you might know Herman Langford possibly. I told Brother Langford, I said, you've got to shut down your business. He owned a lumber yard. I said, you got to shut down your business and you got to baptize me right now. And he said, can't you wait till the end of the business day? And I said, no way. I said, shut it down. And he shut down his business and he came and baptized me. And the Bible says, as we read in Romans chapter 6, that when we are baptized and raised in a new life. If you have been immersed in water for the remission of your sins as a person who believes and is willing to confess your faith in Jesus, and you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, you have that life too. It began at that moment. And it does not matter whether you or I die physically. That life that we were given by God's grace and mercy and love through His Son continues uninterrupted as we walk through the doorway of death. But that's not what we teach. That's not what we hear. That's not what we sing. I'm going to go and I'm going to have eternal life in the far future. That's not what the Bible, that's not what our Lord said. He said, if you believe in me and if you keep my words, you shall never die. And right there it is. If you've been baptized into Jesus Christ, and if you are walking in His commandments, you have that life. And it will go on uninterrupted for eternity if you just maintain your relationship. Now, I've been challenged as of recent. I'm not finished, so don't get your book out. But I've been challenged by someone recently that said, well, you're just talking semantics, because you really don't have that eternal life till you die. No, I'm not talking semantics. I'm talking reality. And let me show you by a real example the difference. We say, oh, we're going to have eternal life. Oh, let's just say that I'm one of these people that don't kick the bucket until I'm 100. So I got about 33 years left. So I have to wait 33 more years to have eternal life. And if I maintain that relationship, then I get eternal life. So here's my example. If I say to Brother Bob, I'm going to give you my truck. My wife would probably kill me if I did that. But if I said to Brother Bob, I'm going to give you my truck in 5 years. But if you want it, Bob, this is what you got to do. I'm going to give you some conditions. And if you'll keep those conditions in 5 years, I'll give you the truck. That truck going to do you any good right now? Not a lick of good. Not a lick of good. But if I say to Bob, I'm going to give you my truck. And here are the keys. And it is yours to use. All you have to do is maintain the oil and the air in the tires. And after 2 years, that truck is yours forever. Now, is he getting to use my truck right now? Yeah, I gave it to him. I said, all you have to do is maintain it. And so he can drive that truck out of here tonight, and he can use it tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and in 2 years, it's his permanently. Do you see the application? God says you have eternal life right now, and when you get to that end of your race, it's yours to keep forever and ever and ever, but it's yours now, and it's eternal life right now, because it will go uninterrupted, even through death. Is that just a matter of semantics? No, it is not. It's a matter of a reality. Do you have life now, or do you have to wait till way out yonder? Jesus said you have it now. There are some implications for that, folks. One of the implications is just this. You and I should have tremendous confidence in our salvation. I don't know how many Christians that I talk to that say this, and maybe you've said it yourself, and maybe you haven't said it out loud, but maybe it's been in your mind, I don't know if I'll ever make it. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I've done enough. I just don't know in the day of judgment. And I'm going to tell you, even my mother-in-law says this. She says, I won't really know until I'm in front of God whether I'm going into heaven. Whoa, that is not what God wants for us. God wants you to know it. Listen to what he said. Listen to what John said in 1 John chapter 5. He said, I want you to know these things. I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. And so you can have confidence. We can go around boldly saying, I'm saved, rather going, I don't know, I don't know. You see, our songs and our teaching puts eternal life out there somewhere beyond the azure blue when we're supposed to be rejoicing that we have it right now. Boy, that should be motivating. In order to have eternal life, I don't have to say, well, I've got to wait 33 more years or 50 more years, and will I be faithful and will I not? Jesus said, if you believe in me and you keep my commandments, if you maintain that relationship, if you keep the air in the tire and change the oil, it's yours. And you have it now. And Jesus said, if you maintain this relationship, you have it now. You don't have to wait till the unknown yonder. And so you and I should be motivated. How in the world can you and I have peace and joy when we can't be confident that we're going to be with God? I grew up, like most little boys and girls, thinking, ooh, maybe someday I'll become a millionaire. But you know, as I grew older, I knew that wasn't happening. So I wasn't working too hard about becoming a millionaire. for two reasons. One was I wasn't really focused on the worldly things. But the other one was I just didn't figure it ever happened. So if you're never ever going to achieve it, how hard are you going to work to get it? How much are you going to do to achieve it if you think it's out of your reach? God wants you to have joy. God wants you to have peace. God wants you to have motivation and confidence that you have that life in His Son. And tonight, if you're not a Christian, I can't think of too much that would be sadder than not to accept the gift of God's Son and the life that is offered in His Son. John 3:16, God loved you that much that He gave His only begotten Son, that He gave Jesus Christ to die for your sins and mine in order that we might have this life. There's one scenario, though, that tops even that. And I want you to think about this if you are a child of God. It's even a greater tragedy to have eternal life in your hands and to put it down and to walk away. I have a $100 bill here. If I were to drop that on the ground and just walk away from it and just leave it there, what would you say? You say, that guy's ignorant. That guy's crazy. What's he doing? Walking away and leaving something that he had in his pocket? You have something that money can't buy. In fact, the Bible says, what would it profit you if you could have everything packaged up that the world has to offer and you lose your soul? And those of us who are Christians, we have that eternal life, but we can put it down and we can walk away from it. Hebrews talks about how it is, what a shame it is for that to happen. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, God wants you to be His. He wants you to live with Him. Perhaps you're not faithful as His child. Perhaps you have allowed something to cause you to put down that eternal life that He's given you, and you haven't been maintaining that relationship with God. Don't walk out of here tonight and leave it on the ground. If we can help you to have that life or to pick it up and carry it again, come to the front. Let us know your needs while together we stand and sing.